Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We missed you all yesterday, but it was beautiful traveling in Eastern Washington. It was warm. We loved it. And we'll have a clip of an interview we taped while we were there with Congressman Dan Newhouse. We talked about a bunch of things, but today we're going to talk about the continued conversation around gas prices and the impact they're having on farmers. Coming up on the show today, before that, an Idaho sheriff says ahead of the holiday weekend in his county, he wants Washington potential lawbreakers who might vacation there to know that they actually take their laws seriously. He is going to join us coming up momentarily. Also, a Spokane bishop is taking a stand on referendum 101, saying yes, indeed, his parishes are allowed to collect signatures for it there. Also, Governor Jay Inslee gave a local news interview last night and continued his gaslighting on the cost of gasoline. We'll play a clip from that interview. If you have not become a subscriber already, please do so. You can sign up for just $5 a month at UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Not only do you get access to our exclusive Sunday show, Sundays with subscribers, but we also have other bonus content, including monthly live Q&As. I did one of those last night, which I always enjoy. All right, let's start with Governor Jay Inslee and gas prices. Gas prices top of mind. I know a lot of you are going to be driving. Top of mind. Who says that a lot? Karine Jean-Pierre, White House press secretary, top of mind. Governor Jay Inslee went on Cairo 7 last night to talk about, in part, gas prices. I think it was more of a wide-ranging interview. But given the fact that Washington, for the first time in history, has the highest gas prices in the nation, heading into the holiday weekend, of course, Cairo 7 began by talking about that and whether it is tied, as it is, I mean, it is tied to the carbon tax and the cap and trade program. The governor has denied that. He denied that when it was being debated. He denied that in January. In fact, before I play the Cairo 7 clip, let me just remind you what Governor Jay Inslee said in January about the assertion that the carbon tax would raise the cost of gasoline.
The oil and gas industry projections around any of this are halfway between hogwash and baloney. I don't know which, pick your adjective. To blame gasoline prices on something that has hardly even gotten into effect is just baloney.
Yeah, so that was his message in January. But then, of course, we know gas prices have shot up. It is a result of the carbon tax. When you have a fee that is designed to raise the cost of fuel, and it's costing the companies that get that fuel and put it out to all of us hundreds of millions of dollars, you think they're just going to absorb that cost and say, oh, no worries, state of Washington, we'll take care of that for you? No, they're going to socialize it out. And that is exactly what they're doing. So Governor Jay Inslee, again, he went on Cairo 7. I want to play just a clip of his interview because I think he was forced to take a little more nuanced of a position on it now that it's staring all of us straight in the face. But he also refuses to just simply acknowledge the reality of the situation at the gas pump. Here he is.
Well, what I would say is the author of these gas prices are the oil and gas companies.
Oh.
And their rapaciousness, their greed is beyond imagination. They're making 80 cents a gallon profit on every gallon. That is 20 times higher profit than in other states. And I think the legislature needs to look at this issue to restrain some of this price gouging that's going on. Now, I also think there's ways to restrain the cost to the oil and gas companies by having a combined market for our pollution credits with California and Quebec. So I think we need some further action on this to restrain some of these rapacious policies. But we are not going to go backwards on making polluters pay. Our kids should not have to breathe this pollution.
But would you agree that this could be a direct result of the oil companies passing the amount of money that they have to pay to the state on to you?
Yes, there is some of that.
Oh,
now,
you don't
much
say.
Of it is not related to this law because the oil companies have shut down a major pipeline, allegedly for maintenance, although why they do it in the summer, I don't know. That has restrained supply, and that has been a significant reason for these recent increases. It's not all this law.
This man. So first of all, where do we begin on that? The idea that any company that is for profit would absorb added costs that are being forced upon them by the government is ridiculous. It is not in line with reality. And for the governor to say, well, I guess we'll have to go back in the legislature and find ways to further regulate the oil and gas companies to make sure that they're not price gouging people, you're the ones that are forcing them with your policies to incur hundreds of millions of dollars in additional costs. And then you want to go back and further regulate private enterprise to have them further be forced to absorb additional costs, because you call it price gouging. It's insane. There's no other industry that would absorb a cost and not socialize it out to other people. They're doing what everyone else would do. And I know you think it's politically popular for your base to say, oh, the big bad oil and gas companies. You can say that, doesn't change the reality at the pump for the consumer. And shame on you for continuing to not acknowledge the real hurt and strain that this is putting on Washington families, not only at the gas pump, but when they go to the grocery store and everything that needs to be trucked in that they buy. It's really kind of sick, sad stuff that he won't just own it. Say, I mean, he said at the end there, we're not going to go back on, you know, punishing polluters, which he's talking about us. He's talking about those of us who need a car to get somewhere. And so he wants to punish us. And that's exactly what he's doing, is he's punishing us at the gas pump. And then he says, well, maybe we could help the oil and gas companies a little bit by making our marketplace for these carbon credits, combining it with California, combining it with Quebec. California and Quebec don't want to combine it with us, because they are capping, the cost of those credits in those places is lower. That's a fact. And so Governor Janssen is basically saying, well, we can lower ours a little bit and increase theirs a little bit if we combine it all together. It's ridiculous. Just own it. Own the policy. And look, you know, for me, if we had readily available, you know, inexpensive, readily available, reliable alternatives to fossil fuels and to gasoline, if it was cheap and reasonable to buy an electric vehicle, if people could use electric vehicles to go long distances without having to recharge, et cetera, if the technology was there, I think we'd be having a different conversation. But you also look at public transportation, for instance. In our region, it's in shambles. You don't make it easy. You don't make it safe. You can't ride a bus or light rail in Seattle without seeing somebody shoot up or having a mental health emergency. And then you want to make it damn near impossible for working class people in this state to afford to put gas in their car to get from point A to point B. And then you want to go on the local news and you want to continue to gaslight over it. Just own it, Governor. Own it. What do you have to lose? You're leaving office anyway. And you've staked your whole reputation on being the climate governor. So just say, this is what we have to do to save the world, and screw you people who drive a car because you're ruining this beautiful planet of ours. Absolutely insane. So when you go to the gas pump this weekend, what did I do, Nicole? We were in Ellensburg gassing up on our drive back from Eastern Washington. I don't know what came over me, but I'm getting back in the car and I shouted out, $75. Thanks, Jay Inslee.
I kind of wish that I had a camera going at the time, because the guy a couple pumps away was like, huh?
He's like, so this, you know what we should do? You know, they did the shout your abortion. Let's do shout your gas prices.
Oh, I like it.
Let's do, don't use a phone outside the pump, because that's like dangerous, but have somebody inside the vehicle tape you shouting your gas prices and then yelling, thanks, Jay Inslee. And then what we'll do is we'll put all those videos together in a montage, and then we'll play it like on Monday's show.
Yes.
Please do that.
Send a
video shouting your gas price as loud as you can at the pump. Oh my God, this is going to be great.
Yeah, send it on Facebook, facebook.com/Brandi Cruz, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you can post videos there.
No, you can message videos. I think you can message us videos, because you can't post it.
No, I don't take messages on Facebook, geez, because people send me D-pics.
Okay.
So you're going to have to email us, undividedpod.com.
I don't think you can.
Well, you can email undividedpod.com. Hey, I have a video. Okay, by the end of the show today,
we'll figure out
where to send these videos, because I want you to post them somewhere. I mean, you can like respond to me on Twitter with a video and we'll string them all together.
There you go.
But literally as loud and annoying as you can after you fill up this weekend, just shout out the cost at the pump and then say, thanks, Jay Inslee.
I love it.
Oh my God, it's gonna be the best video ever. You guys better do it, okay? Thanks, Jay Inslee. Nicole would never do that because she's too easily embarrassed, but I know I can count on you guys, because we all have no shame and we don't care what people think of us. Okay, moving on, a follow-up. We talked about on the show on Monday that the Washington State Catholic Conference came out with this weird freaking letter telling their parishes they're not allowed. They sent out a letter. It was from June 15th, but we had just gotten hold of it this week. They sent out a letter basically saying, we've received inquiries regarding Referendum 101, also known as the Reject 5599 campaign. And then they say, the Washington State Catholic Conference is taking no position on this referendum. This means signatures may not be collected at parishes. And everyone, including Catholics, were like, what do you mean? it's not as if, like, look, if churches had this policy of, hey, we're not diving into political initiatives or efforts or weighing in on bills, then that's totally understandable. But on this bill, on 5599, they took a position on it during the legislative session. They were opposed to it. So if they were worried about angering people or didn't want to take a political position, then why did they take one just a couple months ago? But now that there is an effort that needs their help underway to restore and protect parental rights in Washington, they're like, nah, we're not going to take a position on the referendum. What do you mean? It's so weird. So anyway, I was very pleased to see that the bishop of the Spokane Catholic Diocese, Bishop Daley, put out a message to his team and basically says, I didn't sign that. I love this because he's just this bishop and he's just killing it. Love it. He said, Monsignor's fathers and administrators, please disregard the recent letter sent out from the Washington State Catholic Conference regarding the campaign to overturn Senate bill. He wrote 4599, but it's 5599. He said the letter indicated that signatures may not be collected at parishes. The letter was not signed by the bishops and does not reflect my intention. In the Diocese of Spokane, you are free to collect signatures seeking to overturn SB 5599 in Christ, Bishop Daley. I don't think I've ever applauded for a bishop before. You go. I love it. Well, and again, and whether he might face some sort of punishment for doing that, I don't know, but it sounds like he doesn't really care. And if you had every Catholic church in the state this Sunday with their congregation sign Referendum 101, we'd be probably halfway there. We'd probably, given the signatures they already have, however that many might be, because we don't know, Reject 5599 has not given us an accurate count of the signatures, which has been a frustration. However, I think we'd be almost all the way there. And so I'm glad they're going to do it in Spokane. I hope there are some other Catholic churches and parishes who decide, yeah, we're going to do it too, because it's really important. And what I've been saying about 5599 and Referendum 101 this whole time, and when we had a meet and greet while we were over on the east side of the state in the Tri-Cities, what I've been telling people is, it's not just about 5599. If we don't stop it here, it's about what comes next. And for people who won't sign it or won't support overturning it, at some point, those parents down the road are going to regret it. And the idea is to stop it before things get even crazier and to preserve your parental rights against insane, radical policies that would seek to erode them. Okay, now to perhaps my favorite story of the month. Nicole and I were driving back from Eastern Washington. I saw this come across my timeline, and I just laughed. So the sheriff in Kootenai County, mm-hmm. I believe is correct, so Coeur d'Alene. So there's a lot of Washingtonians that go vacation in Coeur d'Alene because it's beautiful over there. The issue is that apparently some of those Washingtonians forget that in Idaho, they actually enforce the laws that are on the books. And so the sheriff in Kootenai County wanted to remind vacationers in Washington that they should probably be aware of that before they come over. They put out a public service announcement. I post it to my Facebook page if you want to read the whole thing. But they said, if one chooses to possess controlled substances or engage in any criminal behavior, Seattle, Spokane, and the entire state of Washington is a wonderful place to enjoy July 4th celebrations. The sheriff said, don't come to Kootenai County on vacation and leave on probation. Love it. So anyway, I reached out to them right away and I said, oh my gosh, Sheriff Norris has got to come on the show. He was nice enough to say yes and join us to talk about the public service announcement. Sheriff Norris, welcome to Undivided.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Let's start with giving Brandy a lesson on how to say your county. Go ahead.
Kootenai County, welcome to freedom. Freedom USA. We love our freedoms here, and we love the law and order that we have here in Kootenai County.
Well, I was also going to ask you what it's like to be a sheriff in a state where they enforce the laws.
You know what? We do enforce the laws, and some of them I don't enforce, such as some stuff that came out right at in 2020 when I got elected. I didn't enforce some of those mandates, that's for sure.
Oh, and did you suffer any consequences for that?
Oh, sure. You know, we got emails for saying that I'm going to make sure everybody gets killed here in Kootenai County. But a vast majority of the freedom-loving citizens here in Kootenai County said, great job, Sheriff. That's why we elected you.
Yeah. So I read your guys' little public service announcement yesterday. I had a good laugh at it. We were out of town for work and laughing at it on the drive home. How much of it is meant to just be funny, and how much of this is actually a problem of people from our state going over there not being used to your system of justice?
Only 100% of it. So even though there might be a little bit of comedy with the bed and breakfast, it's actually very, very true. So we actually did statistics in 2021. And of the 93 people that were arrested on that weekend, 46% or 43 of them came from residents of Washington.
Wow. So what kind of crimes are they committing, allegedly?
Anything from petty theft to robbery, under the influence, driving, operating either a boat or a vehicle under the influence. It's a whole spectrum.
Now, do you think there really is an element of, I mean, I know you're familiar with some of the issues we've had with, for instance, police not being able to chase people here. They don't really enforce the drug laws, et cetera. Do you think there really is an element of people who are like, oh, I'm going to go do drugs in Idaho for 4th of July weekend, thinking that I can get away with it because I usually can?
We actually have intelligence, really good intel, that there's a lot of criminals in Idaho. I'm sorry, a lot of criminals in Washington and Spokane specifically that talk to other criminals saying, you know what, we're not going to go to Idaho because they take things pretty serious over there. We're not going to do a transaction. We're not going to do a buy. We're not going to do a sell in Idaho because it's against the law. And you will go to jail or prison if we catch you. So there is an element of it, absolutely.
Well, yeah, it seems like if I'm a drug dealer, I'm not sheriff, don't worry. But if I were a drug dealer and I had to choose between selling drugs in Washington State over the 4th of July weekend and selling drugs in Idaho, I would definitely stay in Washington State.
Absolutely. We've had some consequences of what the legislature has done in Washington. We get people that think that once they get into Washington, we can't chase them. Oh, we chase them.
Oh, can you chase them under the law? You don't have to stop the state line?
We chase them. And then they think, well, we thought since we were in Washington, you couldn't chase us. Oh, no, we're chasing you.
Oh, you're funny. And we need to have you back on more often.
We're chasing you. We're going to arrest you. And we're going to bring you back to Idaho. And you're going to face the consequences of your actions.
Now, I also read in this public service announcement, no weed. It's just weed, Sheriff. It's just weed. It's legal over here.
You know what? The weed today is 20 times stronger than the weed of 20 years ago. And we're seeing some pretty addictive properties in this marijuana. And every community that I worked, because my law enforcement doesn't come from here, but every community that I worked, I heard all the arguments. Oh, it's going to lower crime. Oh, it's going to put people in rehabilitation. Oh, it's going to do this. Wherever it was legalized in my former employer, none of that happened.
Yeah.
Crime went up. The quality of life in the community and where those dispensaries were went down, and the residents hated it.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely some communities here that don't particularly like it either. But just a couple broad questions before
Sure.
we cut you loose. We have some real issues keeping law enforcement in agencies around here. We have the lowest number of police officers per capita of any state in the nation. And I know there are a lot of other jurisdictions struggling with keeping law enforcement officers in the profession. Are you guys seeing those issues over there?
We're actively recruiting any Seattle police officer that would like to come to protect the freedoms and enforce the law on bad people and have a legislature and a sheriff and a community that supports you, come on over. But, you know, we have had some challenges. The last couple of years have been kind of, you know, a little bit weird, a little bit different, but we're stable. We're not hemorrhaging people. This community supports its law enforcement. This sheriff supports law enforcement. And the legislature will never, I promise you, will never dictate what type of law enforcement tools that we're going to have in our toolbox to catch bad guys.
Well, Sheriff, it's so fascinating. You guys are so close, but worlds away from what's happening in Washington State. So, Sheriff Norris, we appreciate you being here. And on behalf of any Washingtonians who might come with nefarious intent, I apologize.
I accept your apology, but there still will be consequences.
Okay, good. All right. Thanks, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
So you've heard the sheriff. You can go to Idaho on vacation, but if you break the law, you very well may leave on probation because they actually enforce the law of there. And don't embarrass our state. Don't embarrass our state and account for 50% of their jail bookings over the holiday weekend. If you want to break the law, do it in Washington. Well, I actually hope you break the law if you're going to break the law in Idaho, because then you actually have consequences for it. So just, you know, safe, happy, 4th of July, law-abiding, all of those things. Okay, coming up next, we are going to talk about yet another poll in Seattle that claims that people really care about improving the drug crisis, improving public safety. There have been so many of these, it's just got me hoping that things are going to work out this year in the city council races. So we'll dive into that coming up. But first, we've been talking about our friend Wes Jones over at sellwithwes.com. If you are looking to sell your home, check out Wes Jones. He's a great real estate agent who's been doing it a long time in the area. And he is, and his team have an awesome concierge service where if you've got a house and you're like, hey, I got to sell it, but I know there are some things that need to be done to it to make sure it's going to really sell at the price I need it to, he and his team can help you with that.
So we're going to come in, number one, and we're going to inspect a home, do a pre-inspection, and we're going to find out all those little hidden bugs that, you know, a buyer may be concerned with. And if a seller wants to do some cosmetic updates, you know, whether it's flooring, whether it's lighting, countertops, even a kitchen, we're going to help guide them through that. So the Listing Boost Concierge Service, what we can do is we can project manage those rehab projects. We have a list of contractors and preferred vendors that we like to work with and have a ton of experience with, and we'll take that off a seller's hands. We'll go ahead and run that project for them, and we even have some options where they can pay at closing out of their net proceeds.
Yeah, so the Listing Boost Concierge Service, and that's awesome. If you're fretting about how do I get my home ready to go on the market, let them do it for you. Let them do it for you and even help you cover the costs up front so that you can get it done and get your home on the market. Sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. All right, let's dive into yet another poll in the Seattle area and in Washington State that says, this is stuff that just blows my mind, because it's like every poll says we want to save for streets. We want the drug crisis to be dealt with. Homelessness is out of control. And then every election, we just put the same party back in charge of things. And I'm like, aren't you just a little curious what might happen if you go a different path? You add a little balance. What's the worst that could happen, right? Maybe that should be the Republican Party slogan in Washington State. What is the worst that could happen? I'm not sure that that instills a lot of confidence or drive, but think about it. Look at things now. What's the worst that could happen?
I like it.
They should hire me as their brand manager.
Yeah.
So anyway, a couple things I thought were interesting about the Seattle Times poll. So just a little information on it. It was a Seattle Times poll done by Suffolk University, 500 Seattle residents. It was conducted June 12th to June 16th, margin of error 4.4%. So one of the things I thought was interesting is actually, the vast majority of people said, yeah, I feel safe in my neighborhood. 85% when asked, do you generally feel safe in your neighborhood, yes or no? 85% said yes. And when asked over the past year, do you believe the amount of crime in your neighborhood has increased, stayed the same, or decreased? 33% said increased. 56% said it stayed about the same. And 7.6%, not very many, says it's actually decreased. So here's what I think is key. When they were asked of the following four choices, what is the biggest public safety concern in Seattle? Gun violence, drug use, car thefts, shoplifting. Again, I think in a normal city where you're sort of dealing with average crime rates, I think an average person would say, oh, you know, car prowling. Like, I'm kind of concerned that's what my safety concern is, car prowling. Maybe a mean dog at the dog park. You know, some sort of crimes of opportunity. But when you look at gun violence, 33% of people in Seattle say their biggest public safety concern is gun violence, which most of that is gang violence, by the way. 48%, though, drug use. 48%. And I think that's because, you know, you're really wise enough to understand that drug use is combined in so many things. When you look at some of the crimes of opportunity, when you look at crimes like shoplifting, burglary, and even some gang violence, it's driven by drugs. If we could get the drug crisis under control, it would do so much, not only for Seattle, but for Washington State. It really is even more than mental health, I think, the driving force of so many of the issues that we're seeing. So you have Seattle residents who are saying, hey, either crime is increasing or it's not getting any better. And they really want, more than any other public safety issue, they want drug use dealt with. And that's very telling considering just a couple weeks ago, the Seattle City Council said, oh, we're not going to make drug possession a crime. We're not going to make open air drug use a crime. So everything that voters are telling them, and then you compare that to what the Seattle City Council is doing, and it doesn't line up. And when they go to vote in the primary in August, when they vote in the general election in November, I really hope that they remember that. And there are cities that are not too far off from Seattle politically that are doing what needs to be done. I mean, even in Portland, Ted Wheeler is going back on all his wokeness from 2020 and trying to make sure that people can't just set up tents anywhere and that there's punishments for drug offenses. And I'll just note that over in the city of Bellevue, which, look, Bellevue, I think, is very safe in part because they really understand the need to make sure businesses are thriving. That's really what Bellevue is built off of. And there's a little bit more money in Bellevue. It's more concentrated, I think, wealth in Bellevue. But they did what Seattle apparently did not have the political will to do, and they've passed now a drug possession ordinance, which, and it was unanimous, by the way. Their council voted unanimously to make sure that the Bellevue city attorney could prosecute drug cases. And that's what the city attorney in Seattle attempted to do and couldn't do. And in Bellevue, just 10 miles away, it was unanimous because they understand that if they want to have a beautiful, safe, clean city where people want to dine out, where people want to shop, which I think is Bellevue right now, that they can't have people using drugs out in the open. Oh, it's that simple. Either you want a beautiful city or you don't. Either you want a city like Bellevue or you're content with what downtown Seattle has become. And I actually look forward to chatting more about this on Sundays with subscribers this week. We're going to have John Scholes on. He's the president of the Downtown Seattle Association. And we're going to talk to him about these very issues and their frustration that City Hall in Seattle is just sort of letting them squirm with and deal with these issues around drug use and crime. So good for Bellevue. Not a surprise that Bellevue is in a much better position than the city of Seattle when it comes to whether people want to go there and spend their money. Okay, coming up in a moment, I'm going to play a clip from the interview I did with Congressman Dan Newhouse while we were over in Eastern Washington, specifically a continuation of the conversation we had on this past Sunday's show about the fact that the ag industry is supposed to be exempt from the impacts of the carbon tax, but the state is so helplessly incompetent that they have not put that exemption into practice. So farmers are just left absolutely baffled by what's going on. But first, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. I've been talking about how great the program has been for me, but I've also heard from a ton of you who've had success on the program. Ben and Leslie stopped by our meet and greet in Arlington. Combined between the three of us, we're down 101 pounds. That's like a small person.
And wearing matching jackets.
Well, they were wearing matching jackets. Oh, they were like the cutest. They were just the cutest couple. You think I could get Mike to wear matching clothes to me?
No.
I don't think so either.
Absolutely not.
He sometimes lets me pick out, if we're going to dinner, he's like, just tell me what to wear. Just grab a shirt.
I'm sure, like, okay, I believe that, but yes. He's not going to wear the same thing as you.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe one day. Anyway, so obviously, you know, the pictures that I show and the results from Eastside Weight Loss Clinic speak for themselves. It's not an easy program. You do have to eat better. You really have to learn what you're putting in your body, the impact that it has on you. But I lost 36 pounds and most of that in just 2 months. And it's great to see other people who've had success. So EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. Schedule a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan and be on your way. Okay, as we mentioned, we didn't have a show yesterday because we were out in Eastern Washington. Oh, we stayed at this beautiful resort. Not a resort, hotel.
The Lodge.
The Lodge. Oh, and when Nicole and I woke up, Nicole booked us a room with one king bed.
So that's all that was left.
Nicole and I slept together. Let your imaginations run wild.
Don't start those. I'm still looking for a husband.
Okay, sorry. Gosh, it's beautiful out there. It was really, really hot. But we went out there because there was a congressional field hearing that was happening that Dan Newhouse was a part of on the debate over breaching the Snake River dams. And we sat down. We went to, was it Kona Radio?
I believe so.
Yeah, out there was really nice enough to host us and let us sit in there with Congressman Dan Newhouse for an interview. And we wanted to play some clips on today's show, tomorrow's show, and also on Sunday. But one of the things that I talked to him about while we were there is the gas price situation. The fact that farmers are supposed to be exempt, which accounts for a huge chunk of his district out there. And they're not. And they have razor-thin margins. And when farmers suffer, we all suffer. So I had this conversation with Dan and asked him what word he would use to describe the feeling among farmers over the impact of the carbon tax.
I guess the biggest word would be confusion.
Sure.
I heard something, a couple months ago, some spokesman, I think it was for the Department of Ecology, they were responding to a question of why is this system not put together? And I can't quote them directly, but essentially the gist of it was, well, the rules are there. We're anticipating that the distributors, the dealers, they come up with a system in order to keep track of all this and report to us. And I'm thinking, really? That's how state government works? There's got to be more guidance than that. So it's total confusion out there. It really is. You're right. Agriculture is supposed to be exempt. However, there's a huge fine on the distributors if they don't collect the tax that they're supposed to be. So they're not going to err on the side of getting fined. They're going to be very cautious and make sure that they collect, whether you should have been taxed or not, they're going to tax you so that they're not put in a position of paying a huge $10,000 a day fine. And so then you got to work it out afterward. And, you know, this the whole concept of this thing, even though we were promised by many people in the administration that, oh, you won't even notice. This is just going to cost pennies. Well, I guess 46, 49 pennies have added up to where now I just got a text from a colleague of mine in California ribbing me because we have now overtaken them as being the highest gas in the country. They're very happy about that. 49 or 46 cents, that's huge. That's huge. And it boils down to one thing. And you guys have probably, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure this out. The progressives want us to not just transition. They want us to stop the use of fossil fuels now. And by making fossil fuels so expensive, it will cause the public to go over to the alternative, which is preferred EVs, which have their own set of issues and, you know, climate impacts as well. And it's going to make us as a state so uncompetitive, drive the cost of living up in the state of Washington to a point where we're going to see businesses leaving, people struggling, farmers. I'm not sure that this governor, this current administration even wants agriculture in the state of Washington anymore because of things like this. They're making it so hard for businesses to survive. We've got to have a change in direction on this. This is ridiculous. I think they knew what they were doing. It's when you increase taxes on anything, you see a direct correlation to consumption. If cost of something goes up, consumption of that item usually goes down. And to be telling us and selling it as something that you're not even going to notice was very disingenuous. And that, you know, if they had, you know, maybe we'd still disagree with them, but maybe they'd have a little more credibility. But that being the ultimate goal of increasing the price because of the consumption issues, I think they've been very disingenuous to the Washington State public, and they should be held accountable for that.
And the only place you can hold them accountable is on the ballot. Luckily, Jay Inslee is not running again, so I guess you don't really have a chance to hold him accountable for his many years of just lying about stuff like this. But at least he'll be gone from the governor's mansion.
And we know who he supports, so.
Who?
Ferguson. So at least we can.
Does he support Ferguson?
Well,
I don't think he's come out and said it.
Well, he's not going to support Reichard.
Well, we don't know if Reichard's running 100% or not.
We do.
Very presumptuous that he'd support Bob Ferguson. There are other Democrats in the race. Maybe Mark Mullett.
He didn't even support in his Mullett Senate run.
I will note, so tomorrow we're going to have another clip from our Newhouse interview on a subject that I find fascinating, and that is the Communist Party of China scooping up and making land acquisition and other purchases in the United States, including agricultural land in Washington State. It's something that Dan Newhouse says we just have to be aware of as a nation and assume in some ways, unfortunately, nefarious intent when you have the CCP or entities related to it, tied to it, purchasing land here. And what do we do to stop that from happening without taking private property that belongs to someone who just happens to be Chinese, who has no ties at all to the CCP? So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. And then on Sundays with Subscribers, you know, I had to follow up with Dan Newhouse on the impeachment vote and on the fact that he's one of only two Republican members of Congress who voted to impeach Trump who kept their jobs. And he and I reflect on that, and I ask him why. And I think his answer is very spot on as to why he was able to keep his job when so many who did what he did were not. Okay, let's get to, oh, I'm excited for this one. Let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. We put this in our show today because it gives me an opportunity to replay one of the most horrific clips from a government meeting of all time. We talk a lot about the King County Regional Homelessness Authority, how it is incompetent. It was billed as some end-all be-all to our region's homeless crisis, and instead it's just become another wasted cog in the homeless industrial complex, absolutely worthless, should fold, won't, but should. And there was this... So there's a bunch of different branches, right, of the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. And one of the panels is called the Continuum of Care Committee. So they get together and they find ways where, you know, you get a homeless person off the street, but how do we continue that care and make sure that they move forward in a productive way? So you'll recall that during one of these meetings, when they were taking nominations for new members, one of the nominees is a sex offender. And a lady on the panel pushes back against the nomination because she's like, he inappropriately touched me. I don't support his nomination. And a co-chair lost it defending this sex offender. So let's revisit the clip.
This is about equity. And everyone deserves housing. I don't care if they're a sex offender. I don't care if they're black. I don't care if they're indigenous. I don't care if they're a criminal. I don't care if they're coming out of jail, prison. Everyone deserves housing.
Okay. Okay, Shanae, we got you.
No, it's not okay. That's the point.
Okay. So at the time after that happened, thankfully, the King County Regional Homeless Authority, it was egregious enough where they asked her to resign, but this woman, Shanae, oh man, what's her last name? Shanae Colston refused to resign. Well, I am happy to report that she has now been removed from her position. Apparently, there is a level of crazy that is too far in Seattle. I wasn't sure what it was going to be, but this is it, I guess. The Como News Reporting co-chair, who screamed down objections during public meeting, removed from the King County Homelessness Board. And again, in any other environment, that would be a no-brainer. Like, yeah, if a woman says that someone who's already a sex offender touched her inappropriately and she doesn't want to work with that person, that's a pretty reasonable, rational objection to someone's nomination. And the response from Shanae Colston is not reasonable or rational in any planet in the universe. But in Seattle, you know, we're like a little alien colony here, and we accept a lot of things that other people simply would not. So it was really good to see that, and one of the only things it probably did right, the King County Regional Homelessness Authority said, yeah, yes, crazy lady, you cannot be on this committee anymore. So that is good news. Okay, coming up next, Kamala Harris has the lowest approval rating of any vice president in American history. We will show you the numbers. But first, I've been talking about our friends at First Mark Insurance. Mike and I took the First Mark Challenge, like thousands of families have, and we are now proudly members of the First Mark family. And I have just been telling people about this on the air, off the air, because I think it's really a no-brainer. Taking the First Mark Challenge doesn't cost you anything. You learn a ton about your insurance needs in the process, and you could end up saving thousands of dollars a year. So it can help you offset the cost of Inslee's gasoline. So what you do in the First Mark Challenge is you schedule some time with them. We did it virtually. They go over all your current insurance, talk to you about your insurance needs, and they go back out for free. Again, doesn't cost you anything. They shop the major carriers for you, and they come back and either say, hey, your insurance is great, I don't see a need to change it, or they could save you a ton of money and give you better insurance. Dave Taylor, the CEO of First Mark, said that a lot of people realize they are underinsured, which was the case for Mike and I.
So the risk is, if you get in an auto accident and you don't have enough coverage, and let me clarify, you get in an auto accident that's your fault, and you don't have enough coverage, then they can come after you personally for any additional amounts over and above your coverage limit. And that means things like your retirement plan, or come after your equity in your home, or garnish your wages. So it's a big thing. And like with you and Mike, I just think most people haven't had someone take the time to explain it to them in terms they can understand, and show them the how inexpensive it is to actually get the correct coverage.
Yeah, so for Mike and I, we got much better insurance for the same price. And again, we don't pay First Mark anything. So it was like, why would we not do that? So take the First Mark challenge. Trust me, just set aside some time to do it. It's a great thing to do for you and your family. Whether you're just starting out, like Mike and I are, you know, we're just getting married, combining our lives, or if you're getting close to retirement, you want everything you've worked for your whole life to be properly protected. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. They work for you. Okay, let's fit in one national story here. I'm not sure if this comes as a huge surprise, but Kamala Harris now has the lowest approval rating of any vice president in NBC News polling history. So as long as NBC News has been polling the favorability of the vice president, Kamala Harris has the lowest favorability. So 32% favorability approval rating among 1,000 registered voters. And just as, you know, to compare it to other previous vice presidents, Mike Pence, when this poll was done, had 34% positive, so a little bit better. Joe Biden, 34% positive. Dick Cheney, in 2003, 47% positive. Al Gore, 42% positive. So Vice President Kamala Harris hitting a new low. I asked you guys on the live stream, I said, Kamala Harris has the worst approval rating of any VP in history. Do you think that's fair? 97% said yes. I think also our availability to quick information and clips of her just making up sentences during speeches, you know, that didn't exist as readily as like for Al Gore, for instance. For Dick Cheney, where like every single bad moment is out there for everyone to see. Now, I think Kamala Harris has a lot of bad moments because she just, it's like her staff sends her out for whatever issue she's going to speak about with one sentence, and then she has to turn that one sentence into a 10-minute remarks. And it's just so, so bad. But so I think there are some reasons why her approval ratings are probably much poorer than previous vice presidents who maybe also did some unfortunate things. But she certainly hasn't earned great approval ratings, so this doesn't particularly surprise me. Okay, let's get to questions and comments from the day. But first, I forgot to do this on the Monday show. So we were in Lacey for our meet and greet. Do you remember? Well, of course you do, because how could you forget? It's probably burned into your retina. The flashcards that were shown to ninth grade students in Canada, and they were part of a Planned Parenthood lesson, and they were the ABCs of sex ed. And it was gross stuff like felching and autofellatio and really nasty, sick flashcards. So anyway, I was at my Lacey event, and some woman comes up to me and hands me these, and it didn't sink in right away, but she handed me actually age-appropriate flashcards, and it's got things. Oh, let me open it. What's the, oh, it's Mr. Potato Head flashcards. I laughed so hard when she brought these in. I mean, these are more age-appropriate for some elementary kids. Apple. Umbrella. Like, these are the only flashcards we should be bringing into schools. A dog. You want to try one, Nicole? What's this?
A balloon.
Oh, good. Okay, how about one more?
A hat.
See, it's not a picture of the letter A sucking its own pee-pee.
Okay. Wow.
But that's what those flashcards were.
It was.
Nicole's like, you need to stop. So anyway, this really cracked me up. It honestly made my day. So yes, these flashcards would be appropriate in any grade school classroom.
Or, you know, bar. Like, because that's what they said, that, oh, those were supposed to just be in bars and pubs.
Oh, well, they were.
Yeah.
They were created by the AIDS Committee of Toronto.
Yes.
And then for some reason, Planned Parenthood brought them in to hand out to ninth graders when they were never designed for kids.
Well, but adult needs to see
one
those.
One of the flashcards, A to Z, was you, and it was you're a something.
Something about drinking tea.
Drinking urine. People who like to drink urine. They brought that into a ninth grade classroom.
Gross.
This, what is J for, Nicole?
A jar.
A jar. It's empty. No urine in this jar.
None.
So these cracked me up. Thank you. Thank you for bringing these to me. I wish I could remember the name of the woman. Now it escapes my memory.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I'll remember it, but I appreciate the cards. They're awesome. Okay, let's get to some comments before we get to our closing. Sanity check for today. H said, about Idaho. So Idaho saying, hey, don't come here and break the law over 4th of July. We actually arrest people. H said, I've been working with a woman who is involved with addicts. She told me that if you are using or selling drugs, do not go to Idaho. Although we should maybe encourage the drug users to go to Idaho, because then they'd get arrested there and maybe like
get help. Right.
So maybe that actually is something that we should encourage. On the price of gasoline, Sharon said, don't forget other recreational vehicles like boats, four-wheelers, jet skis, generators, RVs, mowers, and other toys. Not just cars and trucks run on gasoline. Gas tax hits, 100%. And especially now, this time of year, everything you're doing that requires gas, although you should be using an electric leaf blower, you know? Do electric, it's just a little battery thing, like a battery. How powerful can that be?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, well, they seem to work.
Okay. Two Ladies Midwest Adventures. Brandy, we're seeing the cost increases in the farms here directly. Family farms are definitely struggling, especially the smaller farms. The trucks and tractors don't run on air. And then the question is, which nobody seems to know the answer to, farmers have already been putting millions of dollars toward the increases as related to the cap and trade program. Are they going to get the money back? Is there any feasible way to refund them that money that they're putting in that is supposed to be exempt? I think they're going to have to end up suing about it. And again, if this is a topic that interests you, because I don't think you're going to hear a conversation around the exemption on farming really anywhere else. But we did this whole long interview on last week's episode of Sundays with Subscribers with Bree Elsie, who's a lobbyist for the Farm Bureau, who talked about this stuff in a really easy to understand way. Because even for me, and I'm involved in kind of the political side of things, the cap and trade program is confusing, and how the exemption is supposed to work is confusing. So go watch that interview. Chance says, so many liberal Democrats care about conserving gas to save the planet, but evidently not enough to go without their conditioners during these heat waves. Well, wait, conditioners? Oh, because you think conditioners pollute as well. I was like, conditioners don't run on gas. But keep in mind that Future 42 poll that we talked about on Monday, where Future 42 asked people if they think gas prices are too high, and like 70% said yes. So it's like, I know that we live in a blue state and they're supporting the politicians who support raising gas prices and raising taxes, et cetera, and the carbon tax. But then they're like, but we don't want gas tax to be that high. So you got to choose one. Well, both those things can't happen at the same time. And then Matthew says the obvious. So the oil companies only want to gouge Washington and not the other states? It's just like they want to get one over on Jay Inslee? No, stupid. Bryce Philippi says, it's incredible how the corporate news media doesn't call out Inslee's BS by simply comparing the price of gas in Idaho and Oregon to Washington, where it's perfectly obvious the effect of cap and trade in our state. Our collective gas mostly comes from the same gas companies, oil refineries. And I think the comparison to Idaho, what's good about the comparison there is you see the difference in the actual gas tax that we've been suffering with for a long time. There's a reason why Washington, Oregon, California generally have higher gas prices, and it's because our taxes are higher. And in Idaho, they're much lower. And then when you look at Oregon and California, again, you know, California has a cap and trade program. They've had it before us. California usually has the highest gas prices in the country, but for their auctions, they're capping the prices lower. And so it's not costing oil and gas companies as much, it's still costing them. But Washington State's implementation, the way it's designed, is an absolute disaster. And to deny that that's what's causing this is again, not in line with the reality. And we just got to scream it from the rooftops. Rick says, too many politicians have no clue how businesses run and how expenses and taxes are passed along to consumers. Brandy is spot on. Thank you. No business can afford to absorb these costs. This is what you get with big government. That's what we need to defund. I totally agree. Somebody just needs to come in again. We just need a course correct. Well, it doesn't have to be a big shift. Just a little, meh, little nudge in the right direction on public safety, little nudge in the right direction on taxes, spending, meh, that's all we need. Gabe said, I think we need to put I did that stickers on the gas pumps with Inslee's face on them. I always see the Biden I did that stickers. Don't deface private property. That's why you gave me that look, right? I don't encourage you to deface private property.
I don't see them as much anymore, but yeah, I think they could be, maybe we could do a little magnets. Something, I don't know. No. But no, I like your idea. I think people should send in those videos.
Yeah. So tips.undivided@gmail.com.
Yes.
I'll put a little Facebook post out telling people to shout your gas prices. So what I want you to do is to like stand outside your local gas station, be like $5.13 a gallon. Thanks, Jay Inslee. Or after you fill up and it says like $110 for a tank of gas. Thanks, Jay Inslee. And I want you to send them to us. But I want you to like scream it so loud
at the end. And make hashtag a scene. Undivided.
Yes. And I just want you to make a scene. Okay. And then just get in your car and just get into your car and drive off. I'll pull a dollar out for the snort drawer. I have one. It's $1. Anyway, okay, this will be fun. tips.undivided@gmail.com. Or you can tag me in it on Twitter. On Kamala Harris, imagine accidentally... I knew this was going to come. Imagine accidentally shooting someone with a shotgun and still having a better rating. Oh, that is true.
It's true.
Oh, my gosh. Good stuff today. Okay. Shall we get to our closing sanity check? What do you think, Nicole?
Let's do it.
If you're a politician, it's probably wise not to insult the people who decide whether you keep your job or not. If you recall, Linwood City Councilman Josh Binda, who's a young black man, has found himself in a little trouble here and there because he just doesn't seem to know the way the rules of being a politician work. You'll also recall that he posts weird crap on social media, like shirtless photographs, promoting a tour where he goes to speak to school children. And as part of promoting that tour, he allegedly used city resources inappropriately, filming some of a promotional video on the dais at the city council chambers. So anyway, there are some citizens in Linwood who have been pushing to recall him. And according to the Linwood Times, the Superior Court judge has now accepted the Binda recall effort, and the decision is now going to fall to voters to decide whether Josh Binda should keep his job. And I'll remind you that there's been even some Democrats who have come out, and Senator John Lovick, who endorsed Josh Binda, came out and said, hey, I think he should resign for everything that he's done and for his just egregious social media posts. But remember the key reason that Councilman Josh Binda said all this is happening to him. It's not because of his own behavior. It's not because of the clear violations. It is because he's black. He believes that this scrutiny is a result of the color of his skin. He has said that it is the result of racist individuals trying to do a recall against him, racist members of the news who want to bring attention to it. Well, my message to Josh Binda would be, it probably wasn't a good idea to accuse the people you serve of being racist, because now those exact people who you accused of being racist are going to decide whether or not you get to keep your job. And I imagine that some of them will be keeping that in mind. All right, that is it for today's episode of Undivided. Remember, shout your gas prices over the weekend. You know, it'll bring a little fun and joy into the soul-sucking process of having to throw your money into the wind for Governor Jay Inslee. So tips.undivided@gmail.com. tips.undivided@gmail.com. Take a video shouting your gas prices. Thanks, Jay Inslee. And then send it to us. I'll also put a little post on Facebook to remind you. But we'll have a little fun with the misery. And in the process, we'll make sure everyone at every gas station you're at knows who is responsible for the high gas prices. Okay, I think that's it, Nicole. Do we have any housekeeping? No? What?
No, I think we're good.
We're good.
Special show tomorrow.
Yeah, special show tomorrow. And then, well, not a special show. It's just not going to be live, but we'll stream it out as live because I've got to get on a plane. But we're going to do it at the same time. Just
it's gonna be new material method. It's
new material, brand new show. I'm just not going to physically be here live, so we probably won't do comments at the end of the show. But just treat it like a normal day. Normal day. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. A special thank you to subscribers of Undivided. If you have not become a subscriber already, please do so. UndividedPod.com. UndividedPod.com. Just $5 a month. Great way to help us give common sense a comeback. We'll also note we are working on one last hurrah, meet and greet, one last R101 signing event, and it is going to be the party to end all parties. We've got the location set, we've got the time, we're going to announce it next week. We expect everyone in a 3-county area to be there.
Except for the protesters.
And yeah, except the protesters. You're not invited. You're not invited. All right, I'll see you guys back here at noon tomorrow.